The Big Wedding Planning Podcast.
Just two wedding planners tearing it up. Listen, learn.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the Big Wedding Planning Podcast, a show for anyone involved in planning a wedding. We want you to learn something valuable and be entertained at the same time. My name is Michelle Martinez.
And I'm Christy Matthews. Thank you so much for joining us as usual. We appreciate you. We're excited about today's show, and it's fucking hot in Arizona.
Is it?
I mean, every day.
Every day is hot.
Yeah. It's like, if it's like 95, I'm like, let's go play outside, kids. It's a cool day.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Wait. So like, is it like
104 by 10 a.m. and it stays that way until like 8:30 or 9 p.m. literally when the sun goes all the way down. And it's my first summer here. So for those of you listening in Arizona, this is probably like old news. What a snore. But for me, every day I'm like, how do people do it? Even though I'm doing it, but
you're doing it in the air conditioning.
I'm doing it. And there's a lot of crotch sweat involved. I'm not going to lie. Yeah.
God, I hate crotch sweat.
Yeah. My kids are like, mom, why are you always wearing skirts? Why don't you wear shorts like a normal mom? And I'm like, because apparently I'm the only one who has like major undercarriage sweat going on in these shorts every time we go out, or I sit in the car, or I walk to the Target from the parking lot. Like, it's ridiculous. I'm pulling out sundresses like, you know, like a fundamentalist who's not allowed to wear pants or shorts.
Well, I love throwing on a sundress personally. Well, yeah, a black dress, whatever.
A black sundress. I just bought one of those from Old Navy.
Yeah. Yeah, totally.
Shout out to Old Navy.
Like loose. Old Navy is great.
Yeah.
Old Navy is good. And, you know, so is Uniqlo. I love Uniqlo.
We don't have, I should probably just look online.
Well, maybe not for sundresses. Well, yeah, they do. Actually, no, that's not true. I do have one from them. It's good. Anyway, okay. What else is going on?
Nothing. What's going on with you?
I don't know. I really just feel like I'm just floating through my days.
Floating through.
Floating on
a raft of stress because it's wedding season and you have a ridiculous schedule right now.
I'm just jumping from this to that, email response, Voxer, phone call, text, tweet, whatever, not tweet, but I mean, I have all these forms of communicating with my clients and wedding professionals and puzzle pieces and...
An Old Navy pop-up just came up on my computer.
Shut up.
Shut up. I interrupted you. You were saying... It's like,
I just feel like, you know how you get to the end of the day and you're like, whew, like what just happened? A lot happened.
Yeah, I feel like I'm like hanging on by the skin of my teeth sometimes and I'm barely getting done what absolutely needs to get done. And then everything else is rolling over to the next day. But you're pretty good about like waking up a couple hours earlier and, you know, making sure that everything that you need done by this time is done. And then the second half of your day.
I wake up early and I go to the gym. And I found that if I don't go to the gym, I have a shitty day. Like I'm in a bad mood. I can't really like grasp all of the things I need to get done. You know what I mean? Like, I think that's a way of like just kind of... not meditating, but just like...
No, it's good to have that time blocked off for like mental health in addition to the physical stuff.
Yeah. And I try not to look at my email before, but I do sometimes. And then so sometimes I'll be like, oh, I can bang out 2 emails right now at 6 a.m. You know, I could do that real quick, but I don't always do it. But sometimes I do. But I don't know. It's just important. And, you know, and I've told you before, Jose Luis and I wake up at like 5 a.m., and then we like have our coffee in bed and we'll put on a little, you know, 20 minutes of whatever show we're watching. And that's our little time. And then I go to the gym and then it's like,
I don't think
boom.
I've ever spent time on purpose with my husband before 6 a.m. for real. Like if
maybe
yeah,
try
I don't,
it.
I don't, I'd really like to say that I'm going to go to the gym in the morning and then just sleep for an extra hour. And I feel like it's like equal parts self-sabotage and also something I look forward to. So yeah, I'm a,
yeah, but you work out later. Are you one of those people that can work out later in the day? Cause
yeah,
I hate that.
Yeah.
Ugh. I hate working out later in the day. Like I'm like, if I don't go in the morning, I'm like, it's not going to happen. It's just not going to happen. So anyway, so that's what's going on. A lot of things, but I just don't really like, it's just everything's going on. Everything. It's amazing. I love it. I'm blessed.
Hashtag blessed.
Hashtag blessed. Hashtag
I hate
winning.
That hashtag, by the way.
I would too.
Okay. So I have a wedding this weekend in California. I'll be posting like by the time this episode comes out, you'll have seen it on stories and I'll post some pictures. I'm so excited. It's like the sweetest, most like positive, upbeat, equally responsible for wedding planning couple that I've worked with in a long time. They're great. I get as many responses from the groom as I do from the bride, and he's as involved and he knows what's going on. And they're just like positive, wonderful, generous, you know, they're ideal clients. And I'm really looking forward to it. So I'll post stuff from
I love those clients.
California.
I love them. Yeah,
I was telling them how it just makes chill. Everything. I was telling the groom last night on a phone call, like the way that he responds to and treats his vendors is going to make his wedding day better. And it's also going to make the final products he gets, like video and photography after the wedding, better because his team of vendors cares about him. And we always do our job, but I can tell everyone's going to be like, on the same page and, you know, willing to go the extra mile and all of that, the best kind of vendor team, because they've loved the experience of working with this couple so much as I have. So it's really great.
And they will. That's true. Like, oh, we're running, you know, 45 minutes
late. Oh, you
need
an extra speaker.
The photographer's probably be like,
I have that. No big deal.
Here you go. No worries. I'm happy to stay a little longer for you. Yeah. I like you. You appreciate me.
Yes,
I appreciate you.
I told them
you.
That it's something that I'll feel on the day working with this team because it's a destination wedding. I haven't worked with any of these people before, but every vendor that I've connected with, and I've connected with them all by now, has been, you know, responsive and informative and just great. Easygoing, you know, I send a timeline and then I send a second one and I'm like, oops, scratch that. We're moving this around and they change this or that. And everyone's like, got it. Great. Nope. No problem. So
easy, like Sunday morning, just like that. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So,
very good.
Yeah. Well, today's episode, what do you think?
Today's episode, I'm excited to talk to another fellow crazy person like we are.
Yes.
Wedding planner.
Mom, entrepreneur, all the things. So
yeah,
and
all
we,
the things.
We get pitches, all you know, we've things. Said this before, like professionals or publicists will email us and say, we want to be on the show and here's what we can talk about. And sometimes, like with the guy who in Detroit who talked about 90-day weddings, David, his publicist or his promoter that reached out and the pitch was so solid that we were like, we could do this like tomorrow because we loved what the topic was and that also that he would be walking us through the cornerstones of what the topic was. So this was the same with this guest whose name is Desiree Adams and her company is Verve Event Co. And we'll include all the websites and links on the show notes as usual and she'll run through those at the end of the episode. But her pitch to us was, I have done several of these types of weddings. I want to speak to them. And that is unique outdoor weddings. Let's say like Coachella inspired or festival inspired, maybe like Burning Man. You know, you're a couple, you go to Burning Man and then you want your wedding to have that kind of feel, even though that's crazy pants. People do that, you know, and they come back and they're like, we have this amazing experience at a overnight music festival in Thailand. And now we want to recreate that. But we live in Missouri. How can we do that? And this is that kind of wedding. So we're talking about pitfalls, lessons learned, you know, retrospectively. Here are some issues. Here's some good things to do. Here's some things you need to think about with a festival-inspired wedding.
All right. So shall we read her blurb?
Yes. Okay. Yes. You want to read it? I always read it. You want to read it?
I'm happy to.
You want to change it up?
Let's do this. Let's just confuse everybody.
We're doing a new thing.
Oh my God. Oh, see?
I don't even know what's like last night when Lance was like, we should do a new thing. And I was like, no, thanks. You know, he was like talking about a recipe.
God, whatever, you're so boring, so. Christy.
Yeah. I was like, no, we're good. I'm just going to make lasagna again.
All right.
What did you think I was talking about?
Well, you're very dirty. Or I am. Somebody is in this partnership.
Someone here.
Somebody here. Maybe it's Desiree. Desiree, is that you? She's like, I can't talk about that. All right, here we go. Desiree is a wedding planner in upstate New York who creates heirloom occasions for modern couples. After 7 years producing high-level events for internationally recognized companies in Washington, D.C., she took a break to focus on her young children. But she couldn't stay away for long. 3 years and three moves later, she founded Verve Event Company in 2017. Focusing on efficiency and artful design, Desiree helps couples enjoy planning their modern wedding so they still have time for hashtag all the things. For her, life is too short to waste it on moments without meaning. In 2018, she received awards from The Knot and Wedding Wire, and her work published on Wedding Chicks. In the spring of 2019, she became one of the first wedding vendors to launch an Alexa flash briefing. In Ask the Planner, Wedding Tips in a Flash, Desiree answers questions that couples and vendors never knew to ask. Currently, there are over 2,700 plus listeners, and her tips have been listened to 26,800 times. Welcome, Desiree. Do you know Alexa personally, Desiree?
She says a lot of things, and sometimes, you know, we get mad at each other, but, you know.
Yeah. She's always polite. No matter, you really want to piss her off and get her like flustered. And she's like, stays calm and just gives you the right answer. There's just kind of like a little like knife twist in your side, but she's going to do it really nicely.
Sometimes she's a little smug. Yeah.
She's kind of a bitch, if you ask me.
Passive aggressive.
Nah. All right. Well, she's whatever. I mean, she's nice. She gives me info, but that's cool. That's really cool that you do the flash briefing. You. I'm like, huh. What a good idea.
It's fun. I like it.
So literally, if somebody wants to hear you, how do they say it? What do they tell her?
So what you have to do is you have to enable the skill first on your phone. So you go to Alexa, go to skills, and you can search for Ask the Planner or Wedding Planning, and it will come up, and then you enable it. And then you can, when you're... sorry, now she hears me.
She knows we're talking about her.
So when you're exactly, so when you're you know in the kitchen or getting dressed or whatever, you can just say Alexa, play the news, and she'll start with in Ask the Planner. Here's your wedding planning tip for the day or whatever. So yeah, so it's great for people you know if they're getting ready. I like to say it's because I try to keep them short, so under a minute or a minute most. And you're picking out your outfit. You're listening to the weather. That's what I do. Brushing your teeth. Getting ready, you know, your breakfast or your lunch, and she'll just give you a nice little short little tip to munch on, and then you can be on your merry way.
Okay, so I'm on my Alexa app and I went into skills and it says your skill. Do I go to your skills or categories? Where do I go?
You should go like on the left. If you look for, if you hit skills,
discover.
And then, yeah, discover. And then you can search wedding planner or ask the planner. That's what it's called. And it'll come up. And then you, hit the button that says enable skill.
Okay, I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna do it. I wanna see what you're saying. I wanna see what you're saying.
I can't remember what it was for today.
Ask. Oh, I typed it. I spelled the with an R. That's not how you spell that. There it is. Tips in a flash. Oh, you have ratings.
I do. Good for you. I'm so excited. I need to respond.
One of your tips needs to be to listen to the Big Wedding Planning Podcast.
I should do a podcast.
Yeah, talk about how like once you're engaged, there's podcasts like this one. Mostly just mention this one over and over again.
Yeah,
that can help in all aspects. It. You're in the car, you're commuting, you're doing chores.
Ooh. Yeah, we could be like hi, this is Michelle. And she could be, hi, this is Christy. And then that's all we'll say. And then you can say, I'm producing it right now. And then you could say, and this is your tip for today. Listen to these chicks. They're awesome. Or something better than that. But you know what I mean.
I'll say something about saving time and technology. And one of my favorite podcasts is this one. And I am about to, you know, we can even do it like right before this interview goes live. And you can find out more here.
That'd be cute. You can actually listen to our podcast on Alexa now.
Oh, can
I mean,
you?
It's been a while, but yeah.
I need to figure out how to do those her. Also, because I know you can do that, but I'm not good at, I'm still learning, Alexa.
You just tell her, Alexa, play the Big Wedding Planning Podcast. Okay. Now, you used to have to say podcast twice, but now apparently you have to say, play the Big Wedding Planning Podcast on Intunes. Is it Intunes or something like that? That it's the podcast player on Alexa. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Mm-hmm. You guys, it's something like that. I get confused, but that happens. Especially during wedding season. Anyway.
Yes, let's round it back.
So tell us about your origin story.
Sure. So I was always planning events ever since I was little. My 7th birthday stands out to me. And then I wanted to be on our student council because of homecoming and prom. And then I went to college. And then I was on our activities board. So I was always planning events. I never considered it a serious career. Because, you know, they don't tell you about that in, you know, your guidance counselor's office. So after college, I went into PR briefly. I worked in Washington, D.C., like you said. And I quickly found I wasn't super into pitching reporters. I wanted to plan, like, the launch events for a product. So I transitioned from PR to planning special events in D.C. So my first one was this really sexy American Political Science Association annual meeting. Such a mouthful.
Sexy.
I know. With 7,000 attendees. And so that was like my first introduction to the actual event world. And I loved it because obviously you have a lot of organization and all that stuff. But I just felt like it wasn't as creative as I wanted to be. So I transitioned from meetings to special events. So more like 1,000 person galas. I did an inaugural ball, some productions at the Kennedy Center. So really like high level, big DC-esque events. And I loved it. It was awesome. And I had a great time and I learned so much because, you know, obviously when you're learning, when you're working with really high level people, like, you know, if the president is attending or you have members of like heads of state coming, you have to look at things from a very meticulous standpoint, obviously make sure that you're not making any mistakes on a maybe international stage. So that was awesome. And then I had my first daughter. I had my daughter. And we decided it was good for our family to take some time off, for me to take some time off and, you know, really embrace my role as a mom. And I loved it. So, and then a year later after that, we moved up here to Rochester, where we are now. And then I had our second child. And I joke because I really wanted to get back into events because I missed it. You know, I missed using that part of my brain. And I knew I wanted to go back into work eventually. So I joke that I started my company when I was sleep deprived because my son was only 8 months old. I think he probably had a good nap. You know, I had a good sleep that night. And I was like, this is a great time. And I wanted to make it, you know, feel very organic. I didn't want to push it too much. You know, it would be more when the kids are like more in full-time school. But I'm also kind of a perfectionist. So I try to do things the best they can be at any given moment. But yeah, so and here I am 2.5 years later.
So you crossed over from doing corporate to social, corporate to weddings, which is, you know, a lot of people can't do that. I did that too. A lot of people do not want to do weddings. Like they're like, you're crazy. I'll never touch weddings. They're horrible. Like they're difficult. Whereas corporate is so like, here's your budget. Here's what we want. Make it happen. And not so emotional, right?
Right. I mean, I think they're also similar because a lot of corporate people feel like their gala is their wedding that they do every single year. So it's a big deal to them. Obviously with gala, you know, with weddings, you have more emotion and it's very, you know, it's more emotional too because you obviously don't get any do-overs. But I really have loved it because it's just so, I feel like it's so special that you get, you know, we get to be part of these people's such an important day to them. And, you know, and one of the things that I think is so valuable is that just as a planner, you know, we're able to give these couples the time back with their family and friends. And that's like a personal thing for me, is that you don't get that time back. So being able to use the skills that I have to assist these couples and being able so that they can be present with their guests, you know, actually like hanging out and not having to worry about all those things that we're doing. I think it's just really nice.
How'd you get into doing these festival type weddings? Like, what was the first one? How did this happen?
So it was actually one of my clients from DC. She called me because she said, "Hey, we worked together for a couple years. I don't know if you remember me." And I was like, "Of course I remember you. I've worked with you for 3 years on your gala." And she said, "We just got engaged. We want to plan this wedding festival inspired weekend. We went to Coachella. I think it was probably the year before. We went to Coachella and we just want to recreate that for our family and friends." And it was actually in northern Pennsylvania. So I was actually closer to the site because, you know, it was at their lake house. I was actually closer to it than they were because they lived in DC. So That's how it got started. And it was such an awesome, awesome weekend. Obviously, it has its challenges, which we'll get into. But yeah, so that was, you know, the first one. And yeah, I mean,
did you have to do a lot of research? Had you been to Coachella? I mean, like, I've seen stuff about it on TV. I watched Beyonce Homecoming, and I know it's a lot of music, but like, what else is it? I mean, how did you translate that into
their
a wedding?
Their focus was really on the music festival, like the music part of the event, because they're super into classic rock. And so they knew they wanted, a Rolling Stones tribute band and another band. And they had their eye on these two bands. And, you know, we had talked about the budget a little bit in the beginning, and these bands were not in the budget. And I was like, "Is that what you really want? Because, you know, we can get those," because they're not wedding type bands. They're like, they're a tribute band. So they're like a rock band. And they said, "Nope, like that's what we want. We want it to be about the music." It was always about the music. And we had, you know, the wedding ceremony aspect part of it, but it was really about it being a really awesome experience for their guests and a focus on the rock band, so the music aspect. So, you know, like the decor aspect, she had ideas and that went more into like the wedding feel, but the setup at their home was very much more of like, this is a rock concert.
How many guests?
Oh my goodness. So Friday night was their welcome dinner. So, and that was tech, you know, kind of like a rehearsal dinner. And that was for about 75 people. And then Saturday was for about 125, 150. There's a range because the groom really wanted to invite the whole community. And so he wanted to invite all their lake residents, like the neighbors, you know, obviously they're inviting them too because they're in the community. So you're probably going to hear this big rock concert that we're having, but there wasn't like he didn't want to do like a formal RSVP. So that was a stress point for me because I was like, you're going to invite all these people, but we have no idea.
So almost like a block party.
How many people
something.
Are actually going to come?
Yeah.
Yeah. So like that, it was definitely much more of like a wedding festival feeling because it wasn't like you have to RSVP. Obviously, we knew like their core family and friends, they're going to RSVP. So we knew about them. But as far as the other people, and it was great because people did come from the lake community to come and celebrate and enjoy the concert, which was great because obviously they're spending all this money on this concert. So you want to get a lot of people to attend it. So it feels like a wedding festival and it's not like necessarily a private concert in your backyard. So that's really what they were going for. So I think at the end of the day, it was probably closer to like 175 with all the extras that we were, you know, we tried to keep count, but it was still
well,
hard.
I want to touch more on the bands aspect of this because we'll go into like, you know, constraints outside and food trucks and seating and how, you know, you have to have a plan B and all of that. But a big part of a festival or a music festival inspired wedding is booking entertainment or music that isn't, like you said, a classic wedding band. And there is a difference, just like there is with DJs. There's a difference between a club DJ and a wedding DJ. And some do both very well, but some do not do both very well. And you might hire a club DJ because you really love him for your wedding. And then he doesn't want to work with a wedding planner. He doesn't have the equipment for a small dance floor, whatever it is that might be like, oh, this is why you should have hired somebody with some wedding experience, because they are a different type of event. And I've done a handful of weddings. I can think of like four off the top of my head that had music that the couple was really, really into and very specific about. Like, we want that band that we follow, and we're like big fans of them. Mm-hmm. And they're like big in the, you know, Austin, Texas scene or whatever. Or we want that band that plays all over the Bay Area at venues, and we follow them around like groupies. We love them so much. We want them at our wedding. We don't care how much they cost, and we don't care that they're not a wedding band. And I've worked with those bands to plan the wedding and get all the logistics in place, and it was really tricky from a planner's perspective. There's a lot of things that like a wedding band would just know to bring or have or understand in their contract that a band that's used to playing venues wouldn't necessarily have or think about. So it's really different. If you're considering like a band that you just love and you want them for your wedding, you're probably going to have to do more work than if you were just going to hire a quote wedding band.
For sure. Definitely. I mean, for, you know, like for negotiating with a band, like with a wedding band, I normally just talk to the band leader or whoever is, you know, even if there's a company, there's like one person that you would talk to that's like the front man, I guess. And then with these kinds of bands, you know, I work with an entertainment company that works with the company that represents them or manages them. And, you know, they are helping me negotiate the fee, and then any kind of additional things like travel or accommodations or airfare, you know, because a lot of times these bands are probably not going to be local. So you have to figure out even like the production aspect. So sometimes the band will come with their whole stage and the lighting and the trussing and all that stuff. So, you know, they can travel with it, or you're going to hire someone that's more local to produce that. You know, figuring out who's going to pay for that is something that I work with the entertainment company to negotiate that with, because, you know, they also have buying power. So they're able to get probably a better cost or a better fee for the band or bands, especially if you're doing multiple ones, than if it was just me, because it's not like I'm going to probably be going to them multiple times as opposed to like a booking agent would be doing.
Yeah. And there's other things to think about. For like, that's all the stuff that gets done before the wedding day. Then everything you have to think about to include on the wedding day, like arrival time, setup.
Right.
When is the band manager or the front man going to be able to connect with that AV sound company that we got out?
Right.
Because the band just drove up with their instruments. They didn't bring, you know, tons of speakers and staging and lighting. That was from this AV company in some instances.
Right.
We have to connect those two and have time for a sound check and have band breaks, right? And have a green room or some area that they can chill out in during the breaks. Then they're going to want food. And nine times out of 10, there's demands about what goes in that green room. We want bottles of water. We want a bottle of whiskey. We want cupcakes. You know, it's totally different than what a wedding band would give you for a contract.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, like for the production stuff, you know, I would hire an AV company a production crew to put together everything. So, you know, the band will have a technical writer that spells out everything. You know, like a wedding band usually doesn't, because they just do their own thing and they'll set up on their own. But the band is used to having someone set up their gear and their drum set and their guitar and all their mics and like the amplification and like the lighting. It all goes in a specific special spot on the stage. And obviously like the stage has a stage plot. So you know what size stage they need and how tall it's going to be and all that stuff. So, you know, you don't, a lot of times when you're having a wedding, the band is very self-sufficient. Whereas with this, you know, they're relying on a production company to produce that aspect for them, because they're not, you know, they have obviously like production crew that some like will always travel with them. But if, you know, they're going somewhere then and you're bringing that in, then they definitely, you need someone that can actually interpret that rider that they're bringing with them or that comes with them, so that you know, they're not substituting the wrong things, because, you know, bands can get very, very particular about the instruments that they're using, like what kind of Yamaha is it, or, you know, guitar or whatever. And then obviously, yeah, for like, exactly.
Or the alcohol and then for the green room and the
hospitality. I mean, a lot of times, you know, these bands are used to being in a theater back, you know, they have a backstage area. So they have like their dressing room and they have the hospitality and all that. And it's usually spelled out really nicely in the writer. So you know what you're getting into. But if you're building something like this in your backyard or whatever, you know, we have, we would usually have like a production or a green room trailer. So that's where the band can hang out. They can have their restroom and their shower because they'll probably get really hot and sweaty after the performance. They can also hang out there and have their meal and just have, you know, have their, having their own separate space is super important because they're artists. They have a routine that they follow. They like, you know, they have their meal at 5 o'clock and then they go on at 7 and they have like their whole thing. So you want to, if, especially if it's all about the music, you want to be able to give these artists as much as you can as, or what they're used to so that they can put on the best performance for you.
All this being said, we can, if you're following along, you should see little money signs going through your head, right? Because this is more than, more than a local wedding band that's going to play cover songs and does a ton of weddings. And it's more than just a DJ. And it's more than just a couple of musicians that are, again, used to doing small private events. So it's a whole nother ball game. And it's going to have a budget that comes with it that you need to wrap your brain around because there might be some other elements of your wedding day that then you don't spend as much money on because it was such a priority for you to have this awesome band that you love so much. And I will say the weddings that I've, that I'm talking about that I've done, they were so fun. Like the guests had the best time. I was a guest at one and I will remember it for the rest of my life because the band was so awesome and fun. I mean, it really is a different type of kind of party atmosphere. But it does come with a big price tag.
Right. Right. I mean, it's not just a wedding. It's like a rock concert or whatever kind of concert you're putting on because it is, you know, the music is such a big aspect of it, which I think is really cool.
For bands, when you have that as the main entertainment, do you usually also work with somebody separate that can act as an MC so that you're not asking the band leader to make announcements like, and now we're going to cut the cake?
Right. Yeah. No, I definitely think it's good to have someone like that. Usually the, I'll have someone from the production crew act as my MC. They do it all the time. So they'll have a guy that's used to, and now for our first dance, we'll have, you know, blah, 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 blah.
Okay.
They can do that. They're used to doing like more like a voice of God type figure. So they're not going to do like a lot of schmoozing, but actually some of them are really, really good at it. And they'll ad lib or whatever. So as long as you give them, I put together a script so that they have how the introductions are going to be, et cetera, et cetera. And they can just read from that and they're really good about that. But yeah, I would not rely on the band doing that because that's not their gig. I mean, they're, you know, they're there to perform. They're not there to like act as the MC and to host your wedding.
Right.
And talk about like the other aspects of the wedding, right? And make, again, making this more of like Coachella inspired, like the food and the decor and the restroom situation. And like, how does that differ? And what are some of the pros and cons or tips and tricks for that?
I definitely feel like the, because you are spending a lot of money on the band and the entertainment, other aspects don't necessarily need to be as produced because if you're going for the wedding festival feel, you're not necessarily spending a ton on like flowers and arrangements because then it gets more into like the wedding aspect. The food that I've seen is usually something like food trucks. You can do multiple food trucks. It's not necessarily going to be like a caterer that comes out and does a buffet or whatever because then again, I think it feels more of like a more traditional, I guess, wedding. But a lot of times, you know, we'll do a food truck or multiple food trucks, which is great because, again, you know, the guests can go watch the band, go back to the food truck, watch the band. You know, it kind of has that like roaming feel. So, and that was what they were doing because when they went to Coachella, that was what they had. It was like these really nice high-end food trucks. But then the experience is also going to be different because you're not having a sit-down meal and you're not having, you know, like the toasts are going to be in a different time because it's not like people are focusing on the meal and then you're going on the dance floor. And obviously you have, you know, with food trucks, you can have maybe a wait time because part of the experience of having a food truck is going there, ordering, and then kind of waiting for them to, you know, call your order. So thinking about the flow of that, having enough choices, all that stuff is obviously going to affect how you're going, you know, like the, how the whole day is going to be structured. And that's something to think about too.
When I did a wedding with a food truck, and I've mentioned this on the podcast before, and it was a, you know, it was a not a very high budget mm-hmm. wedding. One thing that, you know, people don't think about is that a food truck, they're inside right. the truck, but they're not, you don't have bussers and servers.
It's
and
the
like,
worst. People don't.
So what do you? What do you do?
I think people think, oh yeah, it'll be less expensive because a food truck, you know, it'll be like X amount of money. It'll be $10 to $15, maybe $20 with drinks and sides. And that'll, you know, that'll be the per person cost. But like I said, guests can go up multiple times. So the, and it's not a good experience for the food truck operator or your guests for them to say, sorry, either, you know, we ran out of food or that's all the couple paid for, you know, so it's going to be a higher per person cost. And like, if you were just going to go up, obviously, and just have one serving. And then, yeah, like having something for cleanup, because again, like the food truck, a lot of times they have disposables because it's not like you're having china and flatware that you're renting. You're having, you know, paper plates and stuff and napkins. So having someone to go around and clean up all the trash that gets left behind is something that people don't think about because, you don't have the bussers. And so even like, you know, even like the drinks that people mm-hmm. put down and they forget, you know, you have to have people that are going around and like they'll drop a napkin or they'll drop a food on the floor or they'll drop like those little mini
picking up
forks,
the trash, but it's also emptying exactly. the trash that you have picked up. Right. Like who's going to do that?
The huge right. trash bins.
Because when we have, you know, when we do this, like this one that I'm thinking of, it was a 2-day event because they had a welcome concert and then they had a concert the next night when the actual wedding was. So you generate a lot of trash when you have 150 guests. So having, you know, you can hire a service that can bring bins that are extra, and you have to have a spot to put the bins that's, you know, downwind from where everyone's going to be because all that trash is going to accumulate. But, you know, having those bins emptied out, people that are going around actually like emptying the trash cans and putting them in the bins, you know, like that's the worst thing. I feel like when you go to a festival, like any kind of like outdoor park event, is when there's the overflowing trash bins and you don't have any, you can't put away your trash.
And there's bees and flies and it's gross. And then there's also the mm-hmm. environmentally responsible mm-hmm. part of it. Is mm-hmm. this recyclable? Is it landfill? Right. Is it compost? Right. Like, you know, and if you're doing this in your home, like when we do home weddings, like regular weddings with catered events and beautiful tables, you usually mm-hmm. will pay your caterer mm-hmm. a fee mm-hmm. and they're going to take all of the trash away. They're right. not going to leave it in your little, you know, the one that gets filled up by the end of the week anyway, and you can't wait for the garbage to come around and pick it up. You know, so it's logistically a lot. It's a lot.
And I have thoughts about food trucks just real quick. And I've gotten now twice texts from two separate girlfriends of mine when they've been guests mm-hmm. at weddings. Does this ever happen to you guys? People text you bitching about something and they're like, is that normal? Because they want like a wedding planner. Yeah. What would you have done? And they both were saying, and this was like in two separate years, mm-hmm. I've been in line at this food truck for over an hour, watching people walk by with their tacos and quesadillas. I'm fucking starving. And now I'm in a bad mood. And honestly, that's what they're going to remember about whoever's wedding this was. So I get it that food trucks are cool and hip and they look better and they're more photogenic than just like having a barbecue place drop off a bunch of food. But guess what? That per person from that barbecue place or that casual restaurant that's going to drop off food and not, they're not going to stay, so you're still not getting service, but you don't with a food truck either in terms of like busing or whatever. But that food all comes at one time hot, or they put it on the little, you know, the little candle thing, stanchions or whatever. Yes. So I get that that's not as cool, but everybody gets to eat like pretty much at the same time. And it can still have that feel of like, grab your food, go to a high top. It's totally casual. We're not going to have a sit down dinner. Like it can still have that feel without people being like, oh, I finished my meal an hour and a half ago, but my sister just got her, you know, chicken and waffle from that food truck. So if you're going to do food trucks, you have to do the math. how long it takes them to make one meal. You have so many guests, so now you need four food trucks.
Which, and a lot of times the food trucks will have a minimum because they don't want to just go out for a couple hundred dollars. You know, you're taking them away from a stop where they'd be potentially getting thousands of dollars of food. So it you know, it adds up. And then obviously, again, going back to the food, is the food trucks aren't, if you're doing a cocktail hour, then they're not normally preparing like little mini plates of things to taste. So are you going to, do you have a food truck that can do that? Are you not going to do that? And then also there's the bar. A lot of times the food trucks don't have alcohol because they're not, you know, they don't have the license to that. So who's going to serve your alcohol? Do you have to hire a separate company to do that? You know, where's the ice going to be? I mean, ice storage is always, you guys know, it's such a pain.
Yep, and it melts.
Like sourcing someone to bring the ice, it's always these really small companies that are not on the internet. So it's obviously like more logistics to think about because where is the bar going to be and who's staffing it? Because it's not going to come with your caterer.
So going back, just want to make sure that we're kind of closing this out on the food truck for those listening that are thinking about doing food trucks. Who do they need to hire in addition to these food trucks? What do you do, Desiree, to make sure that this garbage is picked up and things are flowing well and there's not a line for 1 hour?
I would, if possible, I would have multiple food trucks so that there aren't lines, because that was definitely a concern for our couples. So having multiple food trucks and then having a staffing company that can do that trash cleanup pickup area. I mean, depending on where you are,
kind of roving around.
Exactly. A cleanup crew, basically, because you're going to have them like busing and cleaning up the area, but then also staying back after the party is over and helping clean up that place, unless you were fine cleaning that up yourself. But it's a pain in the butt, and you don't want to get stuck with cleanup duty after your wedding because it's such a downer.
So you want to Google like party staff, event staff, and find some people hourly that can come, like three or four people that can be there throughout the event.
Yeah. And then definitely, and we should like, say a company that can staff the bar too.
Yeah. And a lot of times the same company that can do staffing, bar, can also do basic rentals that can be all at one, you know, for chairs and tables. So that's something to think about also.
Yeah. What else is on this list here? What does this say? What to plan for so your wedding isn't a disaster? Oh, well, that's kind of, the plan B.
Well, I think the actual location, right?
Yeah, the location is a big deal just because it takes up a lot of space to have to all this stuff. I mean, we talked about, you know, you have a production trailer or a production area or a green room, and then obviously like a restroom trailer because you're probably not going to have outdoor, you know, additional bathrooms. You don't want people going in your houses. And then, you know, the area with the actual stage has to be super flat. I mean, like I said, like a lot of these bands are more like rock band type artists. And so, you know, we would build a stage that's 3 feet tall and it has trusses with lighting and speakers. And the trusses are like 20 feet tall, or those stands where the speakers are like 20 feet tall. And they need to be on really solid, flat ground. Because they're so tall, if there's a wind, they can just blow over. So a lot of times I think people don't realize that when they're standing, there's going to be a slight grade to places. So having a really nice flat area. That's why parking lots are a really great place for people, you know, people to have these festivals, is because they're flat. There's concrete. There's not, you know, like I've had where it rained a ton, like 7 inches before Loden even began. So the day of the wedding and the day before, whoa, it was gorgeous. It was fine. It was actually 90 degrees. So it was really hot, but there was no rain. But before, it was a ton of rain, and our production trailers are trying to get through the mud, and they have to go up this big hill to set up everything, and it was just impossible. So the restroom trailer can get stuck, your green room trailer can get stuck, your food trucks definitely, because they weigh 1,000 pounds, they can get stuck. So flat ground is really, and not like grassy field, swampy ground, is really, really good. If it drains well.
Flat, solid ground.
Yeah, and it drains well. That's the key. Because it can rain, but as long as it, you know, the water has somewhere to go, then you're good. Because it just takes up a lot of space. So I would definitely have, if you're even thinking about it, I would have the rental company, or, you know, whoever's going to provide the staging and the the rentals, your tent, et cetera, to come out and look at your site and map out your whole, where everything is going to be, just to make sure you have enough space and it makes sense. You're not cramming everything in, because you obviously need guests, room for the guests to move around. You don't want them like on top of each other, and you don't want, you know, the restroom trailer right next to where people are eating. You know, you want it to feel like it was thought through. And then you...
That's great advice to have the tenting or mm-hmm. flooring company come out, though. Like, that's yep. your Kathy newbie, right, Michelle? Because they look at things mm-hmm. totally differently than we do, and they can measure square feet in their head.
I know. All they have to do is walk.
Well, Kathy comes out with her little long mm-hmm. thing that she rolls, and it measures as she walks. And then she, like, does a Google Earth screenshot right. and then sends a floor plan. And I'm like,
I know. Because oh, then I feel you. Like then you know if you can actually fit or not. Because otherwise you can, and or like there are power lines overhead. You know, there's just things that you might not be, because, you know, you maybe you grew up there and you're like, yeah, sure. Like, you forget that they're there because you're just used to them being there. But then, you know, people like you know, that's their job, is to understand like what the risks are of having your event in such area. So yeah, it's huge to have someone like that to come out and, you know, make a plan to scale.
How important is a plan B if it is raining on the day?
I think it's, I mean, plan B, right.
Well, right. If it is raining, it's absolutely important.
I guess that you have to have it no matter
B
what.
And a plan C, because we have, you know, we've yeah, had right? times where I've had a plan A and then a plan B and then a plan C. Like, if that doesn't work, then we'll go to this.
Yeah. Christy had that recently.
Oh my gosh, it was the worst. I was going back and forth between B and C up until like 3 minutes before the guests were supposed to arrive.
I think also it's just like pick your plan and stick to it. I mean, I think like this one that I'm thinking of, the couple, they really wanted a lot of the things up on the hill because it's, you know, it's going to be great for photos, et cetera, et cetera. And they, you know, because it rained 7 inches and people couldn't get up the hill, they actually knew someone that had swamp mats. And those are basically like big, giant construction, like concrete pads that a crane will have to like bring, not a crane, I guess, more like something like excavator size vehicle will have to come in and like put down, so that people, I know he, it was oh a small gosh. Town. So, you know, he knew a lot of people, which was really, really helpful. So it did help us get stuff up there, up like to where we needed to get them to be. But, you know, so we were able to achieve their, you know, their vision. But on the other side, you know, like my production crew had to basically hand carry everything up this hill, and it was 90 degrees outside because we, you know, we didn't want to switch to our plan B or C. And it was fine. Like I felt so bad for them, but they were like the best sports ever. And I make sure they got, you know, fed and everything. But, you know, we basically built a road of plywood up the hill so that they can get stuff and things took longer because we're having to hand carry a lot of the stuff because, you know, basically we have golf carts that could move stuff. But if you were trying to get like your trailer, your truck for your rentals or other large vehicles, it just wasn't happening. So, you know, having a plan B and a plan C, and then being okay with your plan B and C. I feel like you guys have said this before, like if you're not okay with your plan B and C, then don't even put them on the table. Go somewhere else.
Yep, absolutely.
And that's something that a planner, it's our job to be able to tell you that as like mm-hmm. basically as soon as we see the space you're thinking of. And I say that because you might have a really great idea, like, oh, it's my grandparents' estate and that's where I've always wanted to do this. So, you know, before any plans are set, have mm-hmm. somebody professional get eyes on that land, because everything goes from there. So you just don't want to waste any time. If it's like, if it was never going to work there, you don't want to waste time, you know, figuring out the date and the budget right. and the vendors if that mm-hmm. isn't decided first.
And so I think a lot of it also, what we talked about was kind of at the end of the day, people, and this happens a lot, you have these big dreams and expectations, and then you have to make them into a wedding, right? And so kind of bringing people down to earth and having that festival vibe. But now that you've done quite a few of these, Desiree, and you know, have seen what works and what doesn't, what are just easy ways to create that vibe but still make it flow and work as a wedding?
Good question. Big whammy.
I know. I'm thinking about that. So
I mean, obviously there's the bands and there's the food truck and, you know, like obviously you're not going to have this beautiful curated, table with like the special linen and amazing florals and all these things. But like, is it really just having like picnic tables and like dirt on the ground and, you know, porta potties and, you know, food trucks and a huge stage and beer in, you know, like solo cups?
I feel like the festival aspect is about one being outdoor, which again, like if you're in the California, I think it's great. If you're up like where I am in the Northeast, outdoor can get rained on really, and we've had a super rainy spring and summer so far, and it's just, you know, not fun. But I mean, I think it, like having that festival feel, it's like being outdoor, having the music, having a more casual, not sit down dinner feel. I'm trying to think other aspects to make it feel like a festival that.
I mean, are they stopping to like cut the cake and, you know, like have toasts and
first dance? Right. We did cut a cake. It was a very small ceremonial cake. And that was basically during band break. So, you know, the band goes on, they perform their set. We have a break and we played their first dance, which was on the stage, which was pretty cool. With the lights and everything. And then we did like a ceremonial cutting of the cake, which was very small. I mean, that for them, it wasn't really a priority for them. We did some traditional culture like polka dances because that was the bride's background. But if you're having a wedding festival-ish wedding, I don't think you're not doing it to have like a wedding. You're doing it to have that festival concert experience. So that's what is appealing to you about it. Yes. I mean, we usually don't have like a lot of speakers, or toasts. You can do them. You definitely can. But again, it's like, you're not following the more expected, I guess, run of show.
Right. Timeline. Yeah. Are you creating like theater seating, like just a whole bunch of rows of chairs and then like tables in the back for people who want to eat? Or is it all like tables and chairs in front of the stage? Or you have a dance floor, right?
It's like a wedding. It's a festival. So we're basically on the grass. You have your stage. And obviously, depending on how the area is set up, you can have different configurations. But the area in front of the stage is more like we have, you know, you can have large blankets. Yeah. You have blankets set out for people. We have, you know, you can put this one bride, they cut down trees in their yard. So they had like little stumps all around so people can use them as their little mini tables. Yeah, it was cute.
That's cute.
Whether you call them like a pallet, you can use that as, you know, as your table. So you have like the blankets, like it's kind of like, you know, your concert blanket. They actually gave away t-shirts and big sweatshirt blankets so people can spread their blanket out and watch the show. But people up in the front can definitely stand up and do like their dancing or mosh pitting or whatever. And then you have a separate area. Ours was, you know, you can be to the side or even further back, depending on how the land is laid out, to have more like the dinner seating area. So you can do like picnic tables. We, you know, do like tables of six or eight, or, you know, I wouldn't do rounds. That doesn't feel very wedding festival feeling to me, but you can have those open seating basically for your guests. Cause again, like you're not having assigned seating cause it's not like you have to be in a certain spot. You're sitting next to a certain so-and-so because the food is coming out, you know, it's more of like that grab and go type feeling. So you're not doing assigned seating necessarily for that too.
A mosh pit at a wedding.
Hell yeah, man. Friggin' headbanging and, you know, not that I do that, but
I think I was going to say for one thing that we're not talking about it a ton in this episode because it's so available. And that is sort of the look of a festival inspired wedding. You can Pinterest or Instagram, anything with the word festival in it, and you're going to get, you know, basically the same types of style, what the women are wearing, what, you know, blankets and stuff are thrown down for people to sit on. Mm-hmm. I think it's like, that's sort of the easy part of this kind of wedding. It's all the other logistics with food and music.
A little boho feeling.
Yeah.
I like the idea of the t-shirts, like how you buy t-shirts at a concert of the band.
Right.
You know, merch or like lanyards with like your backstage pass. Like that's super cute.
Well, we had for vendors, we have credentials. So it was super big into the security. And that was a huge, big thing too, because I wanted to make sure that the guests were safe, especially if we're having alcohol and there's a body of water, because they had a ceremony on their dock at the lake. And, they were letting the little kids swim in the lake. So I wanted to obviously feel very, yeah. very safe. So we had security, patrolling the area, one, making sure guests are safe. Two, if there's, dehydration. Three, if it's like a festival and people are making bad choices, like we have someone, one of their staff is trained as an EMT so they can respond if something happens, just making sure that's obviously safe. But yeah, we had basically for all of the vendors, they have credentials. We had bride and groom credentials, and then all of our guests got like festival wristbands. So kind of like, when you're carding your guests, they all get like, and they do these at festivals, but it's a little Slipknot, I guess, kind of, it's a cloth wristband that they get, and it had, like their wedding date and fate at the lake on it. And that's basically like, for carding purposes also. But it's also kind of like commemorative because it's a wedding festival. Mm-hmm. So, but yeah, we had like the merch covered for weddings.
Very good. Which is fun. Awesome. Anything else that we needed to cover?
It was a whirlwind.
Whew. Yeah, I'm trying to think if there's anything else. I mean, safety and security, we talked about a little bit, but it's obviously huge if you're planning something like this. Yeah. I think it's a really fun thing to do if it's important to you, I think. And, if it fits your personal story, your vibe, I think a lot of couples are trying to do things that are more personal to them. And that's why this, couples choose to do this, because they're into that festival or concert, scene. So it makes sense for them, but obviously with it comes a lot of logistical things to think about, and a lot of them might not even know those things to think about.
Well, thank you so, so much for bringing this to our attention. Yeah. and coming on to our podcast. We really appreciate this advice you're giving to our listeners, and just throw out your social media.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me. I love listening to you all. So everyone for listening, keep listening to them because they're awesome. And so yeah, you can find me on Pinterest, Instagram, Facebook at Verve Event Co. That's V-E-R-V-E Event Co. Also, my website is verveeventco.com. So come talk to me. I would love to talk to you guys.
Awesome.
Awesome. Thank you.
Oh, and we'll include pictures of some of the festival type weddings that she mentioned on this podcast in the promo photos. And then, of course, her links will be on our show notes. So you can follow us at the Big Wedding Planning Podcast. That's Instagram. On Twitter and Facebook is at TBWP Podcast. We do have a Facebook group, like a community group. So you can search groups, TBWP Podcast. We also have a link right up at the top of our regular Facebook page. Our website is thebigweddingplanningpodcast.com. And the email is thebigweddingplanningpodcast@gmail.com. That's the best way to reach us if you have questions, comments, concerns, ideas, or pitches. And we answer all questions. It just might take us a couple of days. You may hear your question on a Yawa. If you want to ask your question more personally, you can leave us a voice message on the phone number.
And that is 415-723-1625.
If you want to donate to us and keep this podcast alive, you can do that on Patreon. $5 a month is super helpful. Patreon.com/thebigweddingplanningpodcast. And we both also offer either one-on-one or two-on-one or two-on-two, whatever you want, whatever you're into, consulting with Michelle and I. We Skype or FaceTime or do a regular phone call. We love doing it. Our listeners find it helpful. We love connecting with you and answering your questions. So I think that's it. Thank you.
That is all she wrote, ladies.
Thank you.
Have a good day, everybody. Happy planning. Christy, love you. Love your show.
Bye.
Bye-bye.